around, Annalene stepped through the curtain and into the warm evening. Ben knelt beside Rue, who was happily munching feed. Annalene lingered outside the door, not wanting to disturb the serene moment. But Ben noticed her presence. "Rue's quite energetic, given her ordeal," he said, patting the new mother's snout. "How long should she rest?"
"Eopias are made out of elastic bands," Annalene joked. "She's probably ready to race."
Ben marveled. "So soon?" Annalene laughed.
"Believe me, I envy her. Jabe knocked me off my feet for a month."
She walked into the yard. The repaired cooling unit sat amid the other junk outside. Ben had remained mostly quiet during the drive to fetch it and the journey here. He'd added little to his tale about Oren's absence, apart from a question about the man's finances, which she found oddly timed. Ben hadn't pried further, and he hadn't asked at all about the one thing she most wanted an opinion about.
"Well," Ben said, rising, "I'd better get the equipment inside while there's still light. It was a lovely day. Thanks for the help."
With that, he passed her and walked toward the coolant unit. Annalene stood frozen as he knelt beside it. Finally, she cracked. She marched into his field of view.
"Ben," she said, "should I marry Oren?"
Ben paused. "Do you want to marry Oren?"
"Not especially," she said. "A lot of people think I should."
Ben heaved the unit from the ground.
"I'm sure your other friends would be more qualified to advise. Lily..."
"No," Annalene said. "Not Lily."
She walked after him and blocked him from the doorway. He looked at her, puzzled, as she tugged the coolant unit from his hands and set it down by the floor.
"I want to know what you want me to do."
Ben shrugged.
"It's your life. Every individual decides his or her own fate."
Annalene groaned.
"Everything's an adage with you. Ben, are you telling me you've never had to deal with a real-life situation? Or you had to make a decision about someone else?"
Finally seeming to sense her frustration, Ben looked away.
"I'm human," he said. "There was someone once. It wasn't to be."
"And you gave up and moved to the Jundland Wastes?" She laughed. "I'd say you didn't find the right person."
"Perhaps I did,"
Ben said, looking back at her from beneath his hood.
"But I wasn't the right person." "More double talk from crazy Ben," Annalene said.
Feeling her confidence grow, she took a step toward him, cutting the space between them in half.
"Well, I don't think you're so crazy. I think you found someone you didn't expect to find. And that's not a bad thing," she said, reaching toward him.
Ben put his hands before him to slow her advance.
"Annalene, no, I can't do this. Are you sure?"
She looked up into his eyes.
"I think you can." "No, I definitely can't."
"Everyone loses the reins once in a while." He gave an uncomfortable half-chuckle.
"I said that, didn't I?"
"Yep." She clasped his hands and pulled him closer, and he drew back and turned away.
"What is it?"
She stared at his back. "Is it because of Oren?"
"Don't worry about that. I've told you, I don't feel that way about him."
"And I don't think you feel that way about me either," Ben said, walking toward the Eopies.
"You're the expert on what I think."
She smiled warmly.
"Well, that's proof right there that something's happening between us."
"Oren's known me my whole life and doesn't know what I think. You've met me a handful of times and you can read my mind." Her eyes sparkled in the evening light.
"Often.
So either you're superhumanly perceptive, Ben, or I've had your complete attention." Ben took Rue's lead and walked her to the corral.
her wobbly child followed. Annalene, I think you have a good home, a lovely family, and a successful business. And I think you are bored out of your mind.
She looked at him incredulous. You think I'm that simple?
No, he said, lifting the kid over the fencing. I think you're that complicated.
Annalene crossed her arms.
You think poor little Annie gets bored with Tatooine, and the first time a stranger from off-world comes along, it's off to the races.
Others have done it.
Well, you're wrong. He looked back at her.
Honestly, you're not bored?
Annalene turned and kicked the coolant unit with a clang.
I'm too tired to be bored. I've got a home that's falling apart because I'm dead every evening. Half the time, I fall asleep at the kitchen table. My kids keep trying to find new ways to kill themselves, as if this place weren't dangerous enough. And my business...
She sputtered as she stormed toward the corral.
My business is playing Mother Bantha to a herd of full-grown orphans. People are not flying to the rim to trade places with old Annalene.
I know some who would.
Ben said, his back leaning on the fence. She glared at him. He began to say something and stopped. For a moment, there was only the sound of the baby Eope nuzzling his mother. At last, Ben spoke again.
Annalene, I think you've learned to live with these things. But you can't pretend anymore that they challenge you. There's too much to you.
Turning, he placed both hands on the fence railing and looked out onto the desert.
You've reached your limit and you're looking for a lifeline. And since you think you can't move, you're desperate for someone to come along and keep you company in that world. Someone who challenges you.
I don't know,
Annalene said, joining him at the fence. Herbally Napty is pretty challenging.
You know what I mean.
She looked down at the Eopes and sighed. She did know what he meant.
You're telling me that you don't escape a trap by luring someone else in.
Every trap has multiple ways out, Ben said. I saw that just today. Annalene thought that a strange comment, but he changed the subject. Besides, he said, I'd make a terrible shopkeeper.
You can barely shop right, she said.
They laughed. Ben started to move from the fence when she touched his arm.